Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fun. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of Watch Out for Deceivers. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 16, verse 17, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Now, here at the end of the epistle, Paul is giving this warning about false teaching and false teachers. And Paul says concerning them, he says that they cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that had been taught. And so he tells them to avoid such people. For they, says Paul, are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly or their own lustful appetite. So when it comes to the subject of false teaching, Jude warns us about those who creep in unaware. So how do we spot deceivers? Well, first of all, Paul tells us that they teach things that are contrary to what the Bible, and particularly the New Testament, teaches. Now, the difficulty in that is that, of course, they often use the scriptures, but they twist them. They deny things like the virgin birth of Christ, for example, or perhaps the deity of Christ. They do not believe that a man must be born again, or they don't believe that being born again is what the Bible refers to it as. And we could go on and on with this list, but these are more or less the essential kinds of things that we need to be concerned about. They would deny the inspiration, infallibility, and authority of the Bible. So, each and every one of these that we've mentioned here is in that category of what we would call an essential doctrine. These are things that you have to believe. And you have to believe what the Bible says about them. They're non-negotiable things. And so these are the things that we need to be on the lookout for. These kinds of people. People come and they cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. They deny essential biblical doctrine. Paul tells us here also that they cause division and they lead astray the simple, or naive is another word that could be used there. And the idea is that they prey on the younger believers. They prey on those who are not yet grounded enough in the faith to resist their clever speeches, their smooth words, and their flattery. And we identify them, fourthly, by the fact that they serve themselves and they draw people to follow them. And they cause division. So they come in and they divide with these doctrines. They divide the body of Christ in the larger sense, like we mentioned. And they will come in and they will divide local churches, like I said, if they can. You know where this happens so frequently is in the context of Christian educational institutions. It's a division. But they're drawing people after themselves. That's really what it's all about. It's to get followers, to get people to agree with you. And in some cases, it's simply to gratify their ego. In other cases, it's to benefit financially from those that would follow them. They're serving themselves. They found a way to gratify their flesh through these things. So false teachers and false teaching have always been an issue in the church and always will be till the very end. But we are to mark those, or as he says here, note those who are like this, and then we are to avoid them. That's to be our response. We are to avoid them. We are to stay away from them. Now, Paul here is talking to the average person in the congregation, and he's not telling them to contend, although they might have to at a certain point, but he's telling them, hey, just stay away from that. Just avoid that. And there are people who should just avoid it because they're not strong enough to confront it or to deal with it. And then there are others that God gifts to be able to contend with people for the faith and to stand up against these teachings. And of course, thank God that we do have people like that. But this is to be our response. We're to avoid them. We're to stay away from them. We are not to listen to them. We are not to seek fellowship with them. So when it comes to these things, there's a point where we have to draw the line and say, you know what? I can't fellowship with that. I can't join arms with that for the furtherance of the gospel because these guys don't believe the gospel. How do you partner with people to spread the gospel when they don't believe it, when they deny the very foundations of it? So we are not to fellowship. We are not to embrace them as the servants of Christ. We are not to promote their ministries, but we are to rather expose them. And again, even though it's not real politically correct to talk about the fact that we have to disassociate from certain people, the Bible tells us to do it. We have to do it. But now, here's where we've got to be careful, because this is serious. It's a serious thing to separate from people. And we have to make sure when we're doing this that we're really addressing it from the view of the right issues. And it comes down, like I said, to the essentials. What we want to avoid doing, what we have to avoid doing, is separating from people that the Bible doesn't tell us to separate from. And this is where we have to have wisdom, we have to have discernment, and we have to understand what the real, you know, crux of the matter is. And the crux of the matter is here, it's the denial of essential truth. Because if you deny essential, notice the word essential, meaning you can't have truth, salvation, eternal life. You can't have it without this. This is essential. It has to be there. So that's what we're to disassociate from. Those who hold on to that, those who support that, those who promote that, we're to separate from that. But what we do too often is we separate from people that we really shouldn't separate from. Because when it comes to the essentials, they believe all that we believe. They believe the same thing. But there might be an area where we do disagree, but it's not in an essential, but oftentimes we do the same thing with them. We separate from them and we warn people about them. And we tell people that, you know, don't listen to them. Don't go to their church. Again, this is a serious thing that Paul's instructing us to do. So we don't want to be separating from people who are truly believers. We separate from those who claim to be Christians but deny or contradict the essential doctrines of the faith. And those are the things that we've been talking about. So we must be careful not to separate with other true believers over non-essentials. Now, as I mentioned to you, I was just at a conference. And as I'm speaking at this conference, and you know, the situation in, I was in Scotland, and the situation there with our fellowships is we have a very small number of fellowships in Scotland itself. We have approximately 50 fellowships in the UK, but 6 or 7 of them in Scotland. And so we've been going up and just encouraging them and trying to just kind of give them, you know, just kind of a shot in the arm and just wanting to see them develop and grow and kind of take some ownership of the ministry in their own country. So anyway, as we're doing this conference and as I'm teaching, I said, you know, look, one of the things we've got to realize, there's no one person and there's no one church and there's probably no one movement that's going to be able to impact this place the way it needs to be impacted. And so I said, look, you know, you guys, you've got to seek out other Christians. You got to pray for your nation. And you got to realize that there's a larger body of Christ than just these, you know, 6 or 7 tiny churches that we have here. And you need to be, you know, looking for others that are true believers that you can at least pray with and at least just be thinking in terms of, you know, God, pour out your spirit upon your church, all of it here. Pour out your spirit upon this land. So anyway, you know, I'm sharing this and somebody stands up and says, well, you know, that's not really possible. And I said, well, why not? And he said, well, it's not possible because all of the other churches are into false doctrine. And I said, really? All of the other churches? Yep, they're all into false doctrine. And so I said, well, you know, give me an example. And so he says, well, the, you know, so many of the churches are influenced by this particular guy. And the person that he referred to, we might have disagreements over ministry philosophy and things, but his whole perspective on it was wrong. And I challenged him. I tried, you know, to be as gracious as I could. I said, okay, give me an example right now. Tell me, talking about the essentials, tell me an area where this guy is truly heretical, where he denies the essentials. And, you know, give me an example. Give me an illustration. And he stood there for a minute and he said, well, and then he, you know, he referred to this particular incident where this guy spoke somewhere and what he said. And I said, well, you know, actually, he did not say what you just said he said. I know exactly what he said. I've read a lot on the particular thing. I saw him speaking. And so the guy says to me, he says, I don't believe you. And I said, well, okay, do you think I'm standing up here lying to you? And he says, well, you're calling me a liar. Doesn't this sound like a fun conference? It was really exciting. And I said, no, I'm not calling you a liar. I don't think you're lying. I said, but I do think you're misinformed. I think you're misinformed because you're reading the stuff that's put out there by this guy's enemies. And I said, look, you might not agree with his philosophy of ministry, but I'll tell you right now, he holds to the same essential doctrine of the faith as you do. I know that for a fact. And I shared that with you for this reason, to say this is what we've got to be careful of. Because ministry philosophy is not an essential. People are going to do church differently than we do it. But it's okay. That's between them and the Lord. I mean, if you take the denominations within, you know, what we might call evangelicalism, for lack of a better way to refer to it. You know, if you take the Baptist or you take the Pentecostal groups or you take the, you know, perhaps maybe some of the Methodist groups or Wesleyans, probably more, or, you know, Anglicans, Lutherans, you know, all of the denominations have conservative elements to them where they're all true believers. But they all have different philosophies about ministry and things. But they're all still Christians. They're all still children of God. They all still love Jesus. So this is what I'm saying. We have to be careful. We are truly to separate from and to challenge and call out and in some cases contend with those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, those who deny the essentials of the faith. But when it comes to the non-essential things, we have to learn to trust the Lord. We have to learn to be gracious. We have to learn to, as we said before, we have to learn to disagree agreeably. You know, we can't have that hostile attitude toward people. Okay, so over here on the one side, you've got, you know, the people who deny the essentials, disassociate from them. Over here, you've got people with maybe a different philosophy of ministry. Okay, we got to learn to, you know, work together and so forth. But then here in the middle, you've got some issues that are concerning, but you have to be discerning about these things. At that same conference, another man asked me the question about the word faith churches. He said, you know, a bunch of word faith churches here in the area. What, you know, how do we navigate that? What do we do? And I said to him, I said, honestly, you know, that is very difficult. We have to really be sensitive. And he said at one point to me, as I was explaining to him, he said, well, you know, you're really speaking like a pastor. And I am. But what he meant by that, I was speaking like a pastor in the sense that, you know, we have to be careful because there are people there. There are sheep. These are truly God's children, but they're led astray. So we have to be careful. And so, you know, we mentioned a few different word faith teachers. A couple of these others. And I said, you know, this is obviously a difficulty. There's no question about it. And there's some in this particular sphere of this word faith thing, there's varying degrees of intensity within it. And some guys are just, I mean, they're so far out there, they've almost, and maybe in some cases, have gone to the point of crossing over into the essentials. I remember years ago hearing Ken Copeland say that he, you know, when he reads in the Bible where Jesus says, you know, before Abraham was, I am, he says, well, when I get up every morning and look in the mirror, I say the same thing, I am. So Ken, you know, kind of saw himself as an equal with Jesus. And that to me is, that's pretty heretical. So that's one extreme end of it. Then you've got this other side where it's a similar kind of a doctrine, but it's milder. It's not as intense. And you do have all the way across. I shared the story about a couple that came to our church when I first began pastoring years ago. And they were such a wonderful couple. They came from Oklahoma. And they came from the ministry of Kenneth Hagin. Now, some of you might remember Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin and Copeland were sort of like the, you know, they were the primary sort of leaders of the Word Faith movement. And both of them just out there, as I already mentioned with Copeland. So this couple came from that church, and they came to our little church. And, you know, they were the sweetest people in the world, and they loved the Lord. And they would come and tell me, well, you know, Brother Brian, they'd say. Now, Brother Hagin, he says, and I just like, you know, don't tell me what Brother Hagin says, because I don't care. I was young and fiery back at that time. You know, I just tell him, Brother Hagin's a heretic. What do you mean you went to his church? You know, man, I'm sure glad you guys found this church. This is a great church. You know? But you know, I have to say, honestly, they came from his church as Christians. They were Christians, and they loved the Lord, and they loved us. They were so gracious. I was a young 26-year-old, and I think they were probably in their late 30s or early 40s. But they were so gracious. They would pray for us, and sometimes they'd give us little offerings, you know. But the woman, on one occasion, came up to me, and she just began to speak this word of the Lord over me. And you know, the amazing thing, everything she said came true. So you see, it's not as cut and dry and black and white with some of these things as it appears to certain people to be. And this is why we have to be careful. And as you can tell from what I just shared, I've changed a lot over the years in this regard. I still, from the standpoint of, you know, theologically, this is still an extremely problematic interpretation of Scripture. But I've come to the place of realizing that, you know, good people, godly people, people who otherwise love the Lord, can err in certain points. But again, it's not an essential. So we've got to be careful. Now, safeguarding ourselves against the counterfeits. How do we do that? Well, Paul says here, he says, I want you to be wise in what is good and simple or innocent concerning evil. So how do we safeguard ourselves against counterfeits? We need to be wise in what is good. Now, you've heard this before, and it is true. The way here in the United States, people who work in the banks or whatever, people who handle money, who have to identify counterfeits, the way they teach them to identify counterfeits is to never let them touch a counterfeit. They handle the real thing. They handle it so frequently that they know it so well, the minute their fingers touch a counterfeit, they know it. And that's what Paul's saying right here, in a sense. He's saying, I want you to be wise concerning what is good. This is what you're to focus on. This is where you're to put your emphasis. And you know, here's the reality. If we just fill ourselves up with the Word of God, if we study our Bibles, if we get to know them backward and forward and inside out, I don't have to know all of the crazy things that other people believe. The moment I'm around it, I'll just know. Wait, no, that's not right. No, the Bible says this. It doesn't say that. So we safeguard ourselves against the counterfeits by being wise in what is good, or as Paul said to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who can rightly divide the word of truth. So I'm going to be able to rightly divide the word of truth as I am familiar with it, as I'm committed to it, as I'm meditating on it, as I'm handling it. So this is what we're to do. And concerning evil, and here he's referring to these false teachings, we're to just stay away from this stuff. We're to stay just completely away from it. Be innocent concerning it. J.B. Phillips translated this. He said, I want you to be experts in good and not even beginners in evil. Experts in good. Man, just study the scriptures. Devote yourself to the scriptures. They are the safeguard. And when you know the real thing, the moment something false comes along, you might not even know exactly what the particulars are, but you just know. It is something's not right with that. I'm not quite sure what it is, but man, I just know there's something not right with that. And you'll figure it out. And so Paul says to them, he says, your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf. I want you to be wise in what is good, simple concerning evil, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. That's the promise. And, of course, there's an aspect of that that's yet to come where the devil will be completely subdued. But what Paul's talking about here has more of an immediate application as we train ourselves to be wise in what is good and simple in what is evil, we're going to have more and more and more victory over the devil. We're going to trample him under feet. As Jesus said to his disciples, remember, he says, I've given you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So we will tread on them. We'll tread on the enemy as we are strengthened through the Word of God. And this is a promise for you personally. It's a promise for the church collectively. It's a promise for the saints. As we strengthen ourselves in the Word of God, the enemy will be crushed under our feet. And now, in closing, verses 21 through 24, Paul again refers to some of his personal associates, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. And I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Tertius was the secretary to Paul who actually penned the epistle here. Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quartus, a brother. Now, this was written, it is believed, from the city of Corinth. And just a little bit of an interesting note, the treasurer of the city has become a believer. So just as the Lord told Paul, he had many people in that city. And then finally, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, you would think that that's it. It's all done. But Paul has just a couple more things to say, and we will get to those next time.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Satan and the Christian. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Watch Out for Deceivers. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0165. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.